when I was a young man, back in my teens and early 20s, we used to hear a very, very great deal indeed in ministry about the coming again of our Lord. But it has been noticeable more recently in the various occasions when we have been home from Africa, that this particular subject has not had the prominence that it once had. Not that the Lord's people have forgotten that the Lord is coming, that Jesus is coming again, but perhaps their thoughts have been more occupied with other and certain lines of teaching, perhaps, have taken a more prominent place. I remember once being at a fellowship meeting on one of my furloughs when there was quite a number of brethren who were ministering the word, and every one of them from Ephesians. It seemed to be the popular book for the time being. So that another brother had to get up eventually and ask if there wasn't any other books in the Bible but Ephesians. I would like to try and say a few words tonight about what I'm going to call the signs of the times. But not the usual kind of signs that are spoken of, historical events. I've already mentioned two of them in the reading. The morning star and the sun of righteousness, both connected with the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one at the end of the New Testament, where it ought to be, and the other at the end of the Old Testament, where it seems to me it's in its right place. I've been particularly struck with these two signs, or tokens, because over there in Central Africa, we see these things much better than you do here in this country. We look up into a pure heaven, where we don't have the smoke of cities to disturb and pollute the atmosphere. We look up at the stars at night, and we can see them clearly and plainly, and absolutely nothing. And when we rise in the morning, and we look towards the east, we see the morning. And I've been inviting people to come and visit us in the Congo to see how the work of the Lord is progressing, but I'd like to invite you to come and see the morning. I very much doubt if there's anything so beautiful as the morning star, as we see it in. And there's something peculiar about the morning star. It's magnificently bright. It outshines every other star, but it just appears, and it just disappears. It never touches the earth. You rise in the morning and you look to the east, and they're shining in all its brilliance. And for a little while, it hangs there in the sky, and then it's gone. We can watch other stars, and we can see them actually set, like we see the sunset. But this star, the morning star, it just simply appears there in the east. It's there for a short while, and then, and as one looks at it, one cannot help remembering, morning by morning, that Jesus, he says here, behold, I come, and then he repeats it, changing the word a little bit, he says, surely, I come quickly. And in between, he tells us, I am the bright and morning. And that beautiful star that we see there in Africa speaks to our hearts of his coming again, reminding us that he's coming. It appears there every morning, something that God doesn't want us ever to forget at all, that Jesus is coming again. But it's something that is hardly known outside our own circle. We've heard it from different people, And we have learned in our own experience that there are people in the world today, Christian people, who have never yet been told that Jesus is coming again. They may have learned in a remote kind of way of his coming again to take up his kingdom on this earth and reign, but they don't know that the bright and morning star is going to appear, take us up to be with himself, to fulfill his promise to his disciples, given in the 14th of John, where he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Jesus is coming. Don't let us lose sight, don't let us forget for one minute that Jesus is coming. I sometimes speak of this to our native brethren in Central Africa. And I tell them that we've had a lot of letters written by different people down through the centuries. Sent to, we've got two little letters at the very end of the Bible. The one says, behold, I come. The other says, sure. We can't possibly make any mistake about this. Jesus, I am the bright and morning star. And it's worthwhile getting up early in the morning to see that marvelous sight. Hanging there in the sky for a short moment. But one of these days, we're going to wake up. Wake from our sleep. Either physical or spiritual. And we're going to see that. And then at night, we've got another of our souls. And it's a wonderful thing how God has made the thing that he has created to fit in your scripture. Start off in the air in the morning on a journey. And you see round about 5:30 or a little earlier the morning star. Before you've proceeded very long, very far it's gone. It begins to be a sort of lightness in the sky in the east. And then all of a sudden the Son of Righteousness, the sun comes up over, rises higher and higher and higher, until it's at the very top and it goes down. The Son of Righteousness shall rise. We're feeling, and we do feel the benefit of that wonderful power in the sun as it begins to warm the earth. And it shines there all day. You can't appreciate it in this country. I've been looking for the sun since ever I came home. And I got a little blink of it today. I haven't had very much more. But out there where we live, you see it rise in the morning. You see it all brilliant sunshine with the sun shining over it. And I'm going to suggest to us of that millennial time that we think of. When he shall reign, for 1,000, when this world will have him as a king, and when the Son of Righteousness will indeed rise with healing on his wings, and for 1,000-year period, this world will find all the earth. And I think I'm not far wrong in suggesting that the day sun will shine in all its beauty. When this world will feel the blessing and the benefit of the healing that he brings, and the whole world might come more. And I want to bring it in connection with those who may have just a little bit doubt in their minds as to this coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, way back in Peter's day, they began to say, but where is the promise of his coming? Look at all that's taken place. Look at the years that we've waited. And we've waited another 1900, nearly. And still he hasn't come. And there must be multitudes of people in the world today. And it may be even in our own hearts sometimes. We've been guilty of the thought that the 9th chapter of Genesis, the 12th verse. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. That's the rainbow. I will set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh, the third sign or token that you and I can see as we raise our eyes up into the sky. And again, I want to claim that over there where we live, we have it far more beautiful, far more distinct than you can ever see it in the. And it's exactly as the scripture says it. When the storm clouds begin to gather, and you have no idea what they can look like over there in Central Africa, they can rise up there, away in the distance, and you see them coming, you come. You wonder if the house is going to stay there. For we've got clouds that rise. We've got difficulties. We've got to face disasters of all kinds and distances. There's one thing that happens in this world before our very eyes. When God raises a cloud and he's going to send rain upon this earth, he puts his bow. And the wonderful thing about it is this, that it's for himself. A lot of people are all at sea as to what this means. I have some people say, oh, there's a rainbow, it's not going to rain. We've got it absolutely upside down. It's something new. But God has made a covenant with his people. And not only with those who came out of the ark, but with every living creature, that he will not destroy men by a flood again. And God will keep his promise. But to make absolutely certain, God puts his bow there in the heavens. But in this scripture, although we can see it, God doesn't say one word about us, but he only speaks about you. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature. I will look upon it. I will remember. What a wonderful thing, what a comfort to our hearts, to look up into the sky. We see the storm clouds there. We may see the rain pouring down upon the earth and coming towards us. And then God puts his bow down. And when we see it, it tells us what? It tells us that God is remembering his promise. I will know when we speak of the coming again of our Lord Jesus. We don't need to have the slightest little bit of doubt in our hearts about it. Jesus is coming again. He himself has said it. Said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come again. I will come quickly. Surely. I'll come and put that wonderful sight. One of the most magnificent things you can look upon. He puts that in the sky to comfort our hearts, to remind us that He is remembered, that He is faithful. When I look at it, I very often think to myself, God, every word that He has spoken, every promise that He has made will be brought to pass. And when He sends us a promise that He's coming again, and reminds us that He's coming quickly to come again, and that not are the morning star, speaking of His coming, Son of Righteousness, speaking of that wonderful time, not so very far future, because of the very short time between the morning star and the Son of Righteousness. Just a little while. And then the boldness to comfort our hearts and to let us remember that He